I wasn't sure what word to say. Excited. I felt passionate. I wanted so much to get back here and talk more about the armor of God and about prayer. I do long for us to be a church that values prayer. And maybe making more opportunities to do that and encouraging us to do that more is a part of what I should do. Maybe as a better example. I long for our church to be connected to the heart of God so that we hear Him guide us and show us what He wants for us. I said 2 weeks ago that prayer, as the seventh piece of armor, is the most described piece of armor in Ephesians chapter 6. Just looking at what Paul says, there's more words to what he says about prayer than anything in the armor of God, and yet every one of them are tremendously deep and important for us to be God's people ready to live the Christian life. There's not a word in this passage to me that's not important and has a purpose and a meaning. Prayer is somehow a completing piece of your spirituality. That's how I'm saying it. Prayer is one of the parts of who you are as a spiritual being, and certainly in this list in Ephesians chapter 6, it seems to me that it's presented as that piece that brings together every other part of our spirituality. And all those other parts are critically important. The shield of faith, what we hear and we believe, the belt of truth, the helmet of salvation, that we know what we believe. And we're not blown by every wind of doctrine that comes by. We know who we are in Christ. We don't have to doubt that and struggle with that and constantly be discouraged and defeated because we're afraid of something out there. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, how important and critical it is that we have that truth, and it's the belt of truth around us. And then there's the shoes of the gospel of peace that personally, you know, when you teach or you preach or you study, God says something to you, and that's how I feel about that one. I just felt so on fire personally about the shoes of the gospel of peace and who we need to be as God's people and the church, and what does God want us to be? God's mission. And prayer now, as we come to this part of Ephesians chapter 6, completing the armor with which we can enter life's battles prepared as God has prepared us. It is the armor of God. Prayer has a great deal of variety and individuality. One of the complicated things about prayer is people sense prayer different. They pray different. Depending on their background, depending on their interest, depending on their personality, depending on their patterns, there's a lot of variety to prayer and the meaning and how we pray effectively. How I pray may not be exactly how you pray. There are different ways to pray and different ideas and techniques. Maybe different languages, different time periods, different styles, different volumes. Some people are more external prayers, and some are far more internal and private. Some have a very patterned way to pray. I just want to say to you that God may open up in your spirit, your life, a way to pray that's different than mine. And that's good. That's okay. What's important is that you know how important prayer is, and that you find that way to connect with God. Because if you don't, you're living without the armor that God wants for you. And it will affect and impact your life in every way. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, reading again. Therefore, put on the armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand firm then with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with a readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the sword of God. And listen in verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of God's people. Adding to a list that I began to make 2 weeks ago as I talked about prayer in this passage, I want to highlight 5 more reasons for each of us of the value of prayer. Why prayer? Why is it important? What does it do for us spiritually? Number one, I want to say the first is that prayer is our connection with God. It's not our only connection, but it is the connection that God offers to us through the Holy Spirit, through a relationship with Him that's absolutely important. Prayer has been a part of connecting with an eternal, infinite God from the time of Adam all the way through the Scriptures. In so many stories and places, prayer is a way. It is the primary way that we're connected to God. It is something that is intended by God to be responsive to Him, responsive to His love and His grace and the truth that He cares about your life. God knows you and loves you individually, and prayer is a way that we can connect to that knowledge of a loving God and hear Him and be guided by Him. Prayer takes effort. It takes focus. Probably the word I'm thinking of most is it takes intentionality to connect to the Spirit of God. It's saying, God, I care about connecting to You. I want to hear from You. I want that to be who I am. I want that to be priority, to hear the heart of God, whether it's in prayer or in other ways that God can speak to us. I think of prayer as that overall term about connecting to God. And within prayer, there's a lot of elements of prayer. There is request. There is listening. There is silence. There's many ways within prayer that we can hear the voice of God. But the question is, do we desire that? Is that what we are, so that we want to hear the heart of God? Why prayer? Also, because we live in a world of spiritual struggle. And I spoke about this and mentioned this last time, but I want to again. Would you move on to that next slide? The unseen enemy. Paul tells us here what that's about. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And there's unseen things around us that we don't necessarily see or understand or even have knowledge of, but it's going on. Somehow, prayer helps us to sense things that we would not otherwise. Dynamics that we might miss. Dynamics that we're too busy to stop and hear what God is thinking and saying and leaning toward us because we're too busy to listen. We need prayer because we live in a world that's complicated. We have an enemy that's trying to destroy us. We have things that we don't know what the outcome's going to be. We don't know what our neighbor's going to do, or our spouse, or somebody at work, or some financial situation, and there's so much unknown, and prayer helps us to face the unknown, the unseen. It helps us to have better understanding of what's going on around us. I feel like without prayer, we're flying blind. We miss so much of what God just wants to say in our hearts and our minds and our spirits. Prayer helps us to connect to that. Prayer also helps us to stand firm. Look at verse 13. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then. Someone brought this up to me and pointed it out to me after I began this series, and I thought it was excellent. I never thought about it like this, but the way this is written and the grammar and the kind of cadence of the words is a reminder that we're told that we're to put on the full armor of God and we're to stand firm then. But then even after that, we must stand at times and be strong in the midst of what's going on around us. Because we have the armor of God on doesn't mean that we will not face the enemy. It's just the opposite. That when we put on the full armor of God, maybe that's when Satan works extra hard to attack us. And so we need prayer because we need to have the strength to stand firm once we put on the full armor of God. It's a future tense. Having done all to stand, period, stand firm. Prayer helps us to stand firm in what we believe because we hold on to what we know is right and it's true. Genuine prayer that's meaningful will build that shield of faith and help us. We also need God's shaping through life. We never get to the place where we're finished and we're complete and we're ready and we're fully mature as God's people. There are stages along the way, and there are times when we might say, oh God, you really helped me with that. Now I see it different than I did before. There are places where we find God's strength. There might be a place you even look back and you say, God really helped me with that. There might be a point, you call it sanctification, where God dealt with an issue you had and God's given you victory over that, and that's great. Satan's not going to leave you alone. He's going to try to get you somewhere else. He'll try to find that weakness. We must continually have the spirit that, God, I need you to shape me today. What's happening to me today? Take what I am and who I am and make me the vessel you want me to be today. The idea with the shaping of the clay to me is a continuous, ongoing modification, under repairs, in process, in progress work. We are work in progress. And we have to see our spirituality that way. We have to see that we have to have that attitude of shaping. God, help me with what I'm dealing with today. Help me to know how to handle today. That God wants to continually form us and show us, and prayer, humility, quietness before God helps us to hear when God's trying to shape us. I've heard it said many times, and many of you have said it and felt it. Maybe if you have lost a loved one in your life, and you maybe have felt this way, maybe not, but many people have and have said, I don't know how people who don't have a faith can do it and go through it. I don't know how they can, because it's hard where I'm at and I have faith. Well, I want to say about prayer, I don't know how any of us can expect to be victorious in the Christian life against all that's out there and be effective as God's footprints without prayer. Without that ongoing sense of God speak to me and shape me, how can we expect to get it right? In relationships, in conflict, in deciding our future, in dealing with grief, in everything of life, we're told that God wants to continually shape us. Prayer is also the community of you and God. I think of how that word community and how it's a special word. It's a good word for a lot of things about describing the body of Christ. But I'm thinking of it today as the community of you and God. That's community, and that's great. That's a big circle, just you and God. You think how important it is for you to be connected to other people, and it absolutely is, but it's so important that you're connected to God. And you sense that, you feel that. He's your heavenly Father. He's the one that is watching over you and has a will and a plan for your life. The community of you and God. I want to say to all of us today, and maybe especially to our young people or those that are younger in their faith anyway, I want to encourage you to make prayer a part of you and your community with God. God has something individual for you. Don't miss it. Don't think, well, I'm part of the church and I'm a part of all this. But realize how God wants to relate to you individually. And having a heart of prayer and seeking God helps you to connect to that God. And it does take time. It takes stepping out of some patterns and cherishing God and saying to God, God, you are worth the time to make you real in my life. It's wherever it is. It's worth, God. And again, I'm preaching to people young and smarter than me here. It's worth taking this and saying, this isn't my God. This isn't going to be my God. Whatever the new rage is, believe me, I don't know. But I say to you young people who are smart and educated and you know all this stuff, don't be the generation that accepts this as your God. You're going to miss it. To us older people, we have our things too, but the generation of communication, I don't know what they call it. I'm sure there's the right name for it. And how that's just, you live in a day of technology that's amazing. I'd like to be here 100 years from now, so I see what's up, but you know, you won't either. But this might be for you one of the threats to that. Young people, pray that you will know who God is and you won't allow that to be robbed from you from things that are good. I know we long to be connected. We long to be in touch. We long to have whatever tool it is that helps us to do that. And that's good. We all felt, I felt that way 50 years ago. But God, help us to long for something deeper with Him. It's meaningful and deep. And it takes challenging our thoughts sometimes. It takes stepping out of the pattern a little bit and saying, God, what do you want to say to me about who I am? It takes intentionally cherishing God and that part of us that are deep and deeply need Him and want Him and long for that. Get still before God. Prayer is the community of you and God. Let's look a little deeper at verse 18. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of the Lord's people. Pray with a purpose and a plan, Paul says. Pray with purpose. However you pray, whatever form you use, wherever you're at, pray with a purpose. Say, God, I want to hear from you. I want to know what you say to me. I want it to make a difference. I want it to guide me, direct me. Paul says, pray on all occasions. There are times that I think it's very valuable that our prayer be structured and planned. Sometimes we can structure prayer and it helps us to kind of cover things that we feel like we want to say to God or hear, and that's very good sometimes. And other times prayer is just best if we're just quiet before God and really get quiet. Say, God, review me. Examine me. Take me back to that conversation I had yesterday with so-and-so at 4 p.m. And God, what do you want to say to me about that? This past week, without getting very specific, for good reasons, I had planned to do something during a certain time, and I thought it was so important. I got to get that done. I just got to. I mean, it was important. It was good. And thankfully, God spoke to me and said, nope. That's what you need to do right now. I was so thankful that God would tell me that. I don't want to waste my life. Pray in relationship with God. He is our Father which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Pray like you really, really believe it and know it in your heart. With the greatest of respect. Relational prayer. Pray with intensity sometimes. Pray with boldness. Pray with honesty. God does not need anybody to pretend anything about who they are. Would you go on to that next slide, please? Pray in the Spirit. Paul uses that term, and pray in the Spirit. Oh, no pretense. Pray with perseverance. Whether you pray a little or you pray much or you pray loud or you pray quiet, pray with perseverance for God's Spirit to speak to your heart. I believe in the promises of God say this, if you do that, God will be closer to you than you think. When you pray with that spirit and attitude, God is there. He's leaning towards you. Paul says, pray for people. How important it is that we pray for people specifically. Praying for people when your heart is genuine will help you in so many ways. It will help you to see better. It will help you to hear better. It will give you more compassion and insight into the lives of people that are hurting. It'll give you more patience. It will give you more fruit of the Spirit if it's genuine prayer. So that you will be the man or woman of God that He wants you to be in the lives of the people around you. Pray for God's gospel to be proclaimed. Pray that the mission of God will be accomplished. Pray that God will help you to know what your personal purpose is in life. Where you are now, maybe down the road, but today, where you're at, in your strengths, in your weaknesses, employed, unemployed, single, married, school, retired, God has a purpose for you. And we should be praying about that. God, what do you want me to be today? My influence, my circle of influence, my footprints. Because all of us have an opportunity to make a footprint where we live, with the people we interact with. Pray, God, that I don't say in my heart, that's somebody else's job. God, help me to know what you want me to do and me to be. If you kind of wonder about that, what am I going to do with my life? Maybe you're missing something, and maybe it's that making that connection to God a high priority. Pray, Paul says, I'm paraphrasing, with your eyes open, watchful, listening, responsive. He says, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Keep praying. I'm almost finished, but not quite yet. For now. In closing today, I want to talk about someone who lived in the 4th century. This is Augustine. Or if you're from England, Augustine. I heard his name so often in seminary, and I read a lot of stuff, and I forgot all of it, plus some more. But I went back and read some stuff about Augustine. Incredibly important man in the influence of the church and the formation of the church. I'll just read this one line here about this. It says, St. Augustine, apart from Jesus Christ and the Apostle Paul, is arguably the most influential figure in the history of Christianity. He was a pastor, he was a bishop, he was a philosopher, he was a theologian. And I'll say about Augustine, he was very practical. Lived in the 4th, 5th century. Kind of after the gospel was, Christianity was more embraced by the Roman government and led into the councils of the church. And this man had an incredible influence on the church. He was born and lived his life in North Africa. Three things about him that kind of I take from him, and again, I'm not a great historian or anything like that, but these are three things from Augustine that got my attention as I was thinking about prayer today. Number one is Augustine was a great theologian and really voiced an understanding of original sin, that here 1500, 1600 years is kind of a core doctrine to the holiness movement in the Church of the Nazarene and Methodism, John Wesley. And we don't have time to go into that, but he said some things back then that were very good and helped the church to kind of weigh some things that they were with some heresies and things. Number two is Augustine believed deeply in the power of grace, that God could change us by his grace. It's not that he just forgave us, but he could change us. He could fix things that need to be fixed. He can root out the sin nature by the power of grace. And that was good. And the third thing that I think of him is what he said about prayer. He said something that I've quoted here in this church before. And it seems so true to me and so deep to me. He said, pray as though everything depended on God. Work as though everything depended on you. That really fits me in what I believe about the Christian life. We absolutely are dependent on God for everything, including his shaping spirit in our lives and our hearts. And God gifts us and calls us and gives us a mission about who we are and what we do. The mission. Prayer is not the end of our journey with God. It's not like, well, once we really pray, then we're done. We've made it. We've arrived. Oh, no. Prayer is the preparation. It's the training. It's the direction. It's the identity. It's the equipping to be on mission with God. And if you wonder, are you on mission to God, with God? Ask God to speak to you in prayer, however he does that. Take time to say, God, what mission do you want me on? Where do you want me? Prayer is being on the right set of tracks. You know, you go to some rail yards and there's tracks going everywhere. And the Christian life can be like that. It's like there's tracks everywhere. We can do that. We can do this. We can get on this horse, or we can focus on this, or we can be worried about that. There's a lot of tracks. Sometimes we have to change tracks. But prayer to me is like saying, God, where do you want me? What tracks you want me on now? Help me to know that and hear that in my heart. Finally, this morning, prayer will help you to stand your ground, to stand firm. The whole armor of God. God, help us to be a praying people and a praying church. You wonder, maybe some of you wonder, where have I gone wrong? Why don't I feel God anymore? I just tell you, come back to this. Come back to that hunger for God. Say, God, speak to me. James chapter 5, would you stand in closing today, is this. The prayers of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Think about that. Prayers of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Oh God, help us to seek you with all that we are, to be hungry for you. Help us, God, to desire your shaping, even if it means that we've got to step out of the pattern sometimes, step out of the attitude, step out of knowing everything, and just being willing to say, God, I need you and your voice and your truth. God, help us to desire that and to seek that, I pray. Help us to be hungry for you, to put on the full armor, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being here today. God bless.